Hello and welcome to our module looking at organic acids.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
She's showing not in the ideal range, a little bit on the high, but not obviously high in the methylmalonic acid. And exactly last time when I spoke to her as we went through this, I had asked her to double her B12. Methylmalonic acid is a toxic byproduct of B12 metabolism. If you don't have enough B12, the methylmalonic acid builds up. So this test really, it tests for a lot of things that you would have to get multiple other tests to run. And it's not, you know, a methylmalonic acid test, a urine test is about $100 just for methylmalonic acid. This test is around $250, I think, by itself, $250 to $300. So it's maybe double the amount, a little bit more than double the amount, and you're getting all the rest of this. So it's a lot of good stuff. They measure B6 directly, whereas the Metagenics one doesn't measure B6 directly. They measure some metabolites, but she's showing that she's got lots of B6 in her system, and she is taking B6, by the way, so that would explain it. Her pantothenic acid is good too. So again, she is taking B vitamins, so that would explain why. Her riboflavin is not measured directly. Riboflavin is measured as glutaric acid. And when glutaric acid is high, it means the riboflavin is low. And again, we've seen this before for her. We've seen that she needs riboflavin because of her Krebs cycle issues. Her ascorbic acid is very low. Now, with ascorbic acid, it stays in your system. It will be in your urine if you take your ascorbic acid, your vitamin C, within a few hours of having the test done. And given that this was a 24-hour urine, right, the ascorbic acid levels were probably good at certain points during the day when she was taking it and low at other points, which to me just says if we really want the benefit of the ascorbate in our system, it's a good idea to be putting the powdered vitamin C in the water and taking it throughout the day after doing a vitamin C calibration or flush process to determine what your ideal dose is. I mean, of course, ideally, we want to be getting it from foods and things like camu camu and amla and acerola cherry, and all of those are really good. And some people, when they have abnormalities in these pathways, really do need those high levels of ascorbic acid. CoQ10, the indirect measure of that is the 3-hydroxy-3-methylglutarate, and that's high on the high end. It's not dramatically high, but again, her CoQ10 kept coming up, so I'm going to look at that and say, well, it's not in the ideal range, so I'm going to look at helping her with that, because I think the CoQ10 can help so much with her heart, with her blood pressure. She's really afraid when that blood pressure goes up. She came to me. I don't even think we had an appointment, or maybe we did have an appointment, but she showed up early, but she had just come from the doctor's office. She was like freaking out because her blood pressure was like 210 over 130. And she's freaking out. I'm like, okay, are you helping your blood pressure? I got her to calm down. But even when I, you know, finally took her blood pressure, it was still pretty close to that. So I said, you really need to look at what you're taking. Your medication is not working. You're getting the toxic side effects of this medication without it having an effect. You know, of course, we talked about the heart math. We talked about adding some CoQ10 and changing some of her supplements around. And there's this awesome blood pressure supplement. It's a herbal supplement that Restorative Formulas makes. I had a long talk with a couple of their developers when I went to a restorative medicine conference back in San Diego last September. And I was really, really taken by the quality of the herbs in this product. And I had given her a bottle of it to take. I had a sample bottle of it. So I said, try it and let's see what happens. And that was in November, and this was February when she came back in, and she hadn't started it yet because there was something in it she was concerned about, that it might lower her blood pressure too much or something. So she's doing it, and I'll get to see her next week to see if it's having any effect. She also did get the doc to change the medication because she's been bouncing medication to medication. I mean, we've tried all the alternative stuff, natto kinase, and all the standard stuff that you might do for blood pressure, but we haven't been able to get it down. Glutathione and acetylcysteine looks just fine. It's measuring NAC directly, and it looks just fine, and I do believe that she was supplementing that. And methyl citrate, which is, they call it vitamin H. I've never seen biotin called vitamin H before. It's usually considered vitamin B9. But methyl citrate is an indirect, and hers looks okay. And let's just see the methylmalonate. We talked about the pyridoxic acid, which is the active form of the B6. If it's really high, it indicates she just recently took B6. The pantothenic acid was directly measured. And, usually if it's high, it's a recent intake of it. And they say high values doesn't mean that you need to reduce it. It just means you probably recently took it. So you may have them not take the stuff during the 24 hours that they're collecting. Glutaric acid, indication of riboflavin deficiency. It could also be fatty acid oxidations. Celiac, which she has, but she's controlled celiac. And the ascorbic acid. Her ascorbic acid was a little on the low side, but no big deal. They're basically looking for high levels, which could contribute to stone formation if the oxalic acid is out of the normal range. If the oxalic acid is normal, vitamin C is not going to contribute to kidney stones. And then this 3-hydroxymethylglutaric acid, you may see, and I keep going back and forth between glutarate and glutaric acid, when you're talking about the acid form of an amino acid or a fatty acid or a metabolite, we can either call them glutarate or glutaric acid. So there's the aric acid at the end of the word versus the ate. And again, they keep bringing in the metabolic disorders that you may see, inborn errors of metabolism. They're not common, but you are going to run across people, especially people who are having difficulties when you're giving them everything you got and they're not getting better. N-acetylcysteine, again, powerful antioxidant. Hers was normal. Methyl citric acid, byproduct of biotin. If it's elevated, it could be a biotin. Again, you should know, some people put raw egg whites into their smoothies or make concoctions. We used to do that when I was a kid. We'd eat raw egg. My mother called it the eggnog, and that was our breakfast in the morning. It was milk and raw egg and chocolate and sugar. But that can actually inhibit your biotin. So ask people about raw eggs if they're eating raw eggs. And then as far as her interpretation, her pyridoxic acid, her B6, was high, and again, she is taking it. So I'm not surprised that it's high, and because of all the things that are happening in her system neurotransmitter-wise, she probably needs that. And her ascorbic acid is low, and it's less than optimal, so I'm going to be talking to her about how much she's taking in terms of ascorbic acid and see if we can help her get that to where it needs to be. And then she's got a high glutaric acid, and this can be just related to fatty acid oxidation, genetic stuff, but also, again, riboflavin and CoQ10. So glutaric acid, and it tells you all the little things about the glutaric acid, and you can read that on your own. So here's just a little summary, again, from the Metametrics on the B vitamin. Valine, leucine, and isoleucine are what's called the branch chain amino acids, and they can be used for energy. And when they're used for energy, they do produce some of these keto acids, ketovalerate, caproate, and methylvalerate. And if those guys are high, you can indicate that you have a problem with the B vitamins, basically, or lipoic acid. And then when you go to amino acid catabolism, like breakdown of the amino acids to make energy, you can get a methylmalonate. If you don't have enough B12, you'll get a buildup of the methylmalonate. It just gets stuck here. Otherwise, it gets converted into energy. So detoxification, pyroglutamic acid is normal right in the middle for her, but the others, orotic acid and hydroxyhippuric acid, are a little bit on the high side. They're not considered, they're not flagged, but they are a little bit on the high side, so I'm going to pay attention to what those indicators mean. And this is the pathway. Glutamic acid with cysteine gets converted to glutamyl cysteine, and then the glycine into glutathione. So if there's a breakdown in this pathway, we're not going to make enough glutathione. Okay, and then you might see the pyroglutamic acid building up and excreting into urine if we're not able to add the glycine to the cysteine and make glutathione. And a lot of people have problems in that pathway. And so we would see that here. Hers is perfectly fine, so she's not likely to have a problem in that pathway. So the pyroglutamic acid, like I said, the metabolite of glutathione. Glutathione is super, super critical. And when you supplement with reduced glutathione, it generally doesn't get in very well. This oral supplementation of glutathione is not that good. That's why we look at creams and we look at doing the precursors like NAC and acetylcysteine. It's a really good precursor. But you need to have good vitamin C and lipoic acid. You need to have the whole package. So if you're just supplementing with NAC and you're not noticing an improvement in glutathione type indicators, then it could be that the lipoic acid and vitamin C need to be elevated. Selenium is also important. That's one thing that's really super important. And we know that the selenium is also important for thyroid function. It's also important for the receptors on the cells for thyroid hormone. So those are important. Orotic acid if they have ammonia toxicity. So elevated ammonia could be toxicity in the liver. It could be a chronic viral infection. It could be problems in the kidneys. It could be that the person's on a very acidic type of acid-forming diet or lifestyle under a lot of stress, which is producing a lot of acid byproducts, and they're producing a lot of ammonia to try to buffer that. Okay, and the hydroxyhippuric, again, we looked at that. That's related to the glycine and hydroxybenzoate. So if you want to be asking this person if they're eating a lot of aspirin, you're like, oh, they're taking they may say they don't have headaches, but they're taking aspirin. And also some of the gut bugs that produce salicylates can be causing elevated levels here. And aspartame, that was a surprise. I didn't realize that aspartame had anything to do with this, but it does. So this is just to give you an example of some of the pathways. This was xylene on the metagenics. It's measured in the detox pathway. And it's a toxic environmental compound. And we have a cytochrome P450 system in the liver. And that system will help to conjugate the glycine to form this methylhippurate. And if that's high, that would indicate that you might have some excessive xylene exposure because that's what triggers that pathway. The ammonia pathway, just a little picture depicting it. You got ammonia plus carbon dioxide equals two ATPs. And if this is not able to break down the urea and excrete it, then the orotate gets elevated. So it could be that you have excess ammonia for the reasons I mentioned earlier, or you may need magnesium when this is low. And then there's a picture of the glutathione pathway, which we looked at a little bit before, and how important all the precursors are and how you get the hydroxybutyrate and ketobutyrate as byproducts. So if you see those elevated, you may be suspicious that the person is not going all the way through the glutathione pathway. And it could be a deficiency of cysteine. It could be some of the cofactors that take it down. Again, these are more of the pictures from the Metametrics book. All of them were not necessarily measured in this, but I just put it in there so that this would be complete for you.